Horse racing was once considered the sport of kings. Is its future in jeopardy? Are casinos and video lottery terminals the way of the future? Can they bring back the fans? Today, the sport is being challenged by alternative forms of gambling that are more accessible and user-friendly for the public. Survival is becoming a critical and much-debated subject. On the one side, supporters of horse racing put forward arguments that their sport is a business upon which thousands rely for a living. They believe that racetracks must be allowed to compete with the casinos and lotteries by offering patrons the same services. Lined up against them is a formidable force who vigorously oppose the indiscriminate expansion of gambling opportunities, which they say exploits weak and vulnerable members of society. Racing with McGee's Michael McGee in conversation with the Reverend Tom Gray of the Coalition Against the Expansion of Gambling discovered that for some people, all gambling is unacceptable.
First of all, I want to say to the Reverend Tom Gray, I think a racing man would want to know, what is your act? What is your agenda? What are you up to?
We're out to stop the expansion of gambling out of Vegas and in Atlantic City into our communities. It's moving from the other side of the tracks onto Main Street with all of its attendant problems.
How successful are you?
Well, 35 states in the past, since 1994, have said no to gambling expansion, and only five have gone further. And 10 states have said no to slots at the track, and only one has said yes, and that's Louisiana.
Let's talk about slots at the racetrack. What do you know about this?
Well, and I know no one's watching them run. They're all playing the slots. So, I mean, if you breeders want to breed horses to run against themselves with no one watching them, then knock yourself out. Anyone that's ever walked into a track with slot machines and racing knows exactly what's happening. You're creating serial slot junkies, and you're not grooming anyone to appreciate your sport.
Are slots, or VLTs, as they are sometimes called, the fly in the ointment? Are these one-armed bandits as insidious and as addictive as one is led to believe?
I think you got a case, you know, where cigar smoking went out, now cigar smoking's coming back in. I'd stay with your horses and stay away from the slots. And my sense is we've got a national federal gaming commission that might find that slot machines are addictive, like nicotine and cigarettes. So there might be some type of regulation on slots. So these racetracks that put slots in, if they ever move on slots, they might wind up with not being able. I think racing made a mistake by probably not owning the slot machines in the first place. They didn't move early. Now they will move late and maybe cut their throat in the future.
Is this a simple case of, if you can't beat them, join them?
Sharing the space in a grandstand building, the place empty, it's not a happy prospect, and we have never at any time made it a secret that we didn't like the idea of racing shifting its focus. There are those opposed to all of this in horse racing, and there are those who see it as the only answer. So where do we go, Reverend, with regard to this being the only answer? Reverend Tom Gray.
Well, I think, once you put them side by side, the people are going to walk to the side with the machines. These are bottom line guys. Slot machines show up for work every Monday, don't need a uniform, don't have to be groomed, don't have to be fed. They don't strike, they don't get old. You see that at Delaware, you see it at Prairie Meadows in Iowa. So, again, I think that the machines are highly addictive. I think it's a product liability case, and we have a national commission that is studying this. No longer are the casino owners and their contributions controlling our politicians.
That's important.
I think that we've stripped away the political cover. We have Ralph Nader and Ralph Reed in the same coalition. That's the far right and the far left in America.
Steve Callens, director of marketing at Philadelphia Park, who previously held that position at Delaware Park, explains that slot machines do generate revenue.
Well, obviously the best thing from a marketing standpoint that I saw was 10,000 to 15,000 people a day coming into the racetrack that obviously weren't coming in before. The opportunity was there to try to market to those people. You had a captivated audience and try to teach them horse racing, educate them on horse racing. Unfortunately, Delaware Park's philosophy was not to do anything as far as matching the two together, so it was a disappointment from that end. But clearly, the numbers from a standpoint of if you're a horse owner, we're talking about the Delaware Park meet just concluded, and they had about $180,000 average daily purse structure for about 150 days. Just 3 years ago, they were paying out $60,000 a day for a 100-day meet. And that doesn't even include that no matter if you ran a horse in a race, you got a check. If you ran last, you still got a check. And then so much overnight stakes money and a tremendous stakes program. So that was a positive.
The trouble is, little is being done to promote horse racing.
Any state or any province or any jurisdiction seeking slot machines is supposedly doing this to protect and to help horse racing. And I think it should be mandated by law that you do things to help horse racing. It shouldn't just be a crutch to keep the racetracks going. I mean, you had people standing in line, sometimes 10 deep to get to a machine. They had no clue there was racing. I mean, a simple opportunity of putting televisions in where the slots are, that's the first step. And again, we know these players aren't the thinking type players. They're not the people who go to a racetrack and really invest their money and think about their spending and do their homework and handicapping and all that. So from that standpoint, hey, put up giant signs. You know, Hollywood pick six today, $50,000 carryover for a $1 bet. It's the kind of bets these people like. But at least they're coming to the window. They have to make a bet. They're going to watch a few races to see if their bet wins. And from that standpoint, you're going to hook a few people, and then if you're there with proper staffing and can educate people, teach people, and so forth, you may win a few customers over.
Out in California, a different approach has been adopted, as is explained by Tom Bowling, Vice President and General Manager of the Hollywood Park Racetrack Casino. He feels that
by combining the racetrack and casino, it greatly expands the services you can offer even your pure horse bettors. We've been able to offer something to do before and after the races, and more crucially, between the races. So it's really been a very friendly situation, and I think that the critical comment I'd like to make is that Mr. Hubbard absolutely insisted that this facility be friendly to the bettor.
D. Hubbard and his team may offend some purists, but they believe strongly that combining all forms of gaming is the way of the future, and more important, what the public wants.
We have over 200 TVs facing our casino floor. Over 50% of them are constantly on horse racing. We offer bet runners that will allow players to actually take bets at the table. So the players do not have to stop wagering at their poker game or their pie-gal game, pie-gal poker or California baccarat game or California blackjack. They simply hand the bet runner the bet, specify what horse they want, and then right from their seat they watch the racing. We also made our rules for the poker games so they were friendly to the bettors. So what has happened is that we made special rules that players were allowed to bet out of their stack only for horse bets. And so now we have created a very friendly community, and I can't tell you how many people we've taught to bet horses. If you're sitting at a poker table and suddenly somebody jumps up and they've won $300 off a $15 bet or a $20 bet, everybody at the table next race says, "Who are you going to bet next time? Who are you going to bet next time?" Now, I'm not pushing the spread of unlimited gambling or slot machines. But if you're going to have slot machines, VLTs, casinos across the street from the racetrack, you're being naive to think that the players are not going to play those and move their discretionary dollars to that form of gaming. If the VLTs are going to be your competitors anyway in your immediate vicinity, the track needs to take advantage of that revenue, because they're certainly going to be competitive with your racing handle, to upgrade your racing and protect the racing.
Protect and improve racing, that's what expanded gambling at racetracks is supposed to do. Betting on horses at racetracks is an accepted fact, and even Reverend Gray agrees.
In my coalition, I have people that would like to take all gambling out. I personally was not running around the country trying to shut down any gambling venues until gambling exploded and tried to come into my neighborhood. The more I see on gambling, the more I see the need that it be carefully studied for its downside effects. If it is a good neighbor, if it takes care of the problem of addictive gambling, then perhaps, like smoking, it can be regulated to a degree, and the public can be warned, so it is not an unsuspecting public that does it. But it's been called gaming. It's marketed as a false product in some ways. Now, horse racing was horse racing. That was very clear. You went, you bet on 9 races, so I think that that was a form that this society had accepted. In many places, it proved to be a good neighbor. There were many racetracks that provide the type of ambiance to have a day out. Arlington Park has Mother's Day, and it has overflow crowds. So I can't see a Mother's Day at a casino.
That may very well be so, but racetracks can be regulated. And as Reverend Gray stated,
I think racing made a mistake by probably not owning the slot machines in the first place. They didn't move early. Now they will move late and maybe cut their throat in the future.
The video lottery terminal is clearly the joker in this pack, and it should not be allowed to ruin well-intended initiatives. VLTs must be confined to closely regulated locations, and in the case of horse racing, used with discretion to enhance the total presentation, and ultimately contribute completely towards the preservation of this great sport. Reverend Gray is concerned, quite rightly though, that the intentions of some racetrack operators are not always so inclined.
This is nothing about racing. The owners of these racetracks that want the slots are out to make more money.
Money, money. As the French say, plus ça change, plus c'est pareil. 50 years ago, when the tote was introduced in England, it was hoped that the transference of huge sums betted by people who did not attend the races would benefit horse racing. Sounded good, but the tote and racing still struggle. Fortunately, racing fans are eternal optimists. Let's hope that this time the marriage of track and casino, racino, makes horse racing once again the greatest game in town.